The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Good afternoon, good night to Mr. Ferguson. Hello, sir.
Good day to you and good day to your listeners.
Right, right. Okay, Mr. Ferguson, Alan Ferguson, president of the Scrap Iron Dealers Association. Good afternoon to you, sir. We're going to be talking about some of your demands to the government. Right, I mean, everybody has their demands. Going out to the newly formed government, everybody wants to have their say and bring things to the attention. And I'm sure there are things that you've been bringing up for the past 5 or 10 years or so. Well, what are some of your demands, sir?
Well, what I want to say is that in 2013, I don't think Trinidad and Tobago remember this, but the UNC government had shut down the industry in 2012, and we were to get them back to open back up the industry about 2 to 3 weeks after. And we were to sit down with them from around right after that until 2013, where we were able to sit down with all the stakeholders and get them to agree on a policy that could able for the industry to run smooth, not as how it is today. And we, when we sit down and get all these proposals and this whole plan how to get the industry run, we'll sit down with the Ministry of Trade, we'll sit down with the EMA, Tongue and Punchery, the police, we have sit down with fire, we have sit down with the corporation, Syncord, and all these people, we will have sit down and to put the proposal together. And it would have been able to us to run our industry with rules and regulations, not to put a chain on our neck that we weren't able to export the material out of Trinidad. And when this new government came in, when the new government came in 2015, we told them, this is not a UNC policy, this is the stakeholders' policy to go ahead with it, is a smooth way how for this industry. They didn't listen to us, and the industry went on for some years, and something happened where they come and they banned the industry. We sent them proposals because they didn't want to use our old policy with the UNC, and they continued to strangle the industry. I told them all kind of things in reference to how we could do this. So we are just telling this new administration is that it already have the policy for them to put in and change up certain things for us to able to run our yards and things. Because out of 160 something yards, only 20 something yards remain from 2022 to now.
Now, stick a little pencil. Let me backtrack. What is the purpose and the sole purpose of, the scrap iron dealers? For people to know the importance of having a scrap iron dealer. So people that just pick up the scrap and what happens with the scrap thereafter?
Well, if you have a scrap yard, right? Yes, people from all over Trinidad just come to your yard. And I just want the normal people to understand. Let me use the Beecham Dam or Arima Dam or Clarkson Bay Dam or Point 14 Dam or the dump in Tobago. These people work and make an honest day work when the day comes. When you go there with your rubbish, they sort out all the iron, the batteries, all the things that could sell. They sort it out and they bring it to our yard. We buy from them and they were able to get on in PSP. And they do that every single day, they do these things. Now, the thing about it, I just tell people, this is the only industry remain with poor people gain something for. You could have a barrow and walk around your yard and your family didn't have nothing to eat. And you bring that to our yard, and you could be able for your family to get something to eat. You could have a car and pick up some material anyway and bring it to our yard, and you could get it sell, because it's not about it reaching down to the poor man. The money that we operating and we exporting, the material that we gain from what you bring to our yard, we export it out of Trinidad and Tobago, and we bring in the foreign exchange. So we saying is that the way how the system is now, it take us that, let me tell you something, we operating with a limb. We operating on life support. People want to, out of the 26 yards, people want to drop off. People want to go away. They're fed up. And I just telling them, I think this government will work with us to strengthen the industry and make it much better than we had for the last 3 to 4 years. I don't think nobody could do more work, and the treatment that we get, the disrespectful treatment, because, you know, the feel is that is, they don't want to respect for people who do a service. When you want to show your bed or your stove down a river or in the ravine or in the bush, we going to pick up that and we bring it to the yard and sort it out and export it. When you leave all these things all over Trinidad and Tobago, our collectors go and pick it up and serve a purpose. An honest fellow when he day come. That's what we do.
All right. Now, when you say, and because I hate to see this bed at the side of the road and fridge and old stove and all them kind of thing. Instead of people just putting it on the side of the road or putting it there, because I know it have an open truck. They by or by me, it have an open truck, might pass and pick it up and that kind of thing. But in areas that don't have that, could there be some incentive that you could put out for people to come and bring their old stove and thing, by instead of leaving it at the side of the road or throwing it in the drain and the thing where it could cause flooding and all that kind of thing? Could that be something that we could do to help alleviate at least something with the flooding situation, with the rubbish and thing, and the disposal?
Well, one of the things that we tried to do, because of how the system is, that how they had it, we cooperate with the corporation, and just before the rainy season, we tell them, listen to me, we will work with them for them to put out, people to put out all the rubbish that they want, and we remove it. So we offer these kind of services, you know, we just cooperate with the corporation and them, and who know that could tell you. So we do this kind of service. But we want to do more. But we have on shoulders, we have on chain. They have our foot on chain. So we cannot do the service that we want. Let me tell you something. If they give us our rights and the way we want to do, Trinidad produces the most rubbish in the world, you know. And I am saying is that if they give us the chance, we move paper, we move plastic, we move even your old clothes that you're throwing outside, we will pick it up, because all these things can recycle. And we are saying is that if you give us the help and the assistance, we will be able to turn Trinidad into a free society from the rubbish and things that they, that, let me tell you, millions of they're able to pick up all these things. And we say we're picking it up free, you know, because we will gain out of picking it up. And we are saying that we don't want people to be out of work, because we ain't bringing employment. If you go to these places, young people, 17, 18 years, let me tell you, you don't need to have a university pass to be able to go and pick up these stuff, you know. All you have to have is a gloves and pick it up and throw it in a van. And this is where we say this industry is just trickled down, the money trickled down to the poor. And you cannot want to strike strangle it, because it's poor people dealing with it. And that's what I'm fighting for. I'm not fighting for the government to give us handouts, you know. All I want you to understand is to have a respect for us and understand is that we're doing a service in the country. And all we are asking for is to help. Help us. That we can help the people who cannot help themselves. Because not everybody can have 10 and 20 subjects. Not everybody will be able to go to the university and study and get big work. It will have people who got to do it by recycling. And it have a lot of people in Trinidad that want to do it honestly.
All right, but recycling is something not not embedded in us, you know what I mean? Which is something that, you know, that is something you had to grow into. Is that first world thing? We still in this third world where we just throwing everything in our garbage bag.
Yes, that's it. That's it. And if they give us, we will do the advertisement, we will do the help to sanitize the country and how they could be able to make things easy for us also.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't help us and you want to strangle us and tell us because somebody keeps copper wire and somebody sees something, and because of that you want to put all the pressure on us. We saying is that, listen to me, people keeping cars every day, people going in people's house and keeping this and keeping that, people robbing people. We're not getting rid of that, but you know, we want to get rid of people who want to make a honest
deal. So what are you say you're brought about the people under you that were stealing the copper cables? It is alleged that a lot of your people were stealing the copper cables all over the place and they couldn't stop them.
You see, this is a baby and a child to me. They don't have, let me tell you something. Trinidad is a lawless country. And I want to make it clear for the last and final time. You see, I plead guilty because I am the charge of this industry. But I wasn't keeping and I wasn't buying stolen stuff. But I plead guilty because I'm charged. But I want to let people know in Trinidad and Tobago know. TSPT announced that they're condemning all them wires and imposts. We know that. And when we hear that, we know that will cause a lot of problems. We offer TSPT. We offer them a lot of money. I don't want to mention it. For us to use the same contractor to move all these wires because it will cause a lot of problems. They didn't listen to us. And they go along and leave the wire. Trinidadians see our opportunity to go and pull along these wires and go and sell it. And I am saying is that it was not only scrap dealers was stealing these wires. It was not. It was the whole community. You see communities upon communities. And there are so much of scrap dealers in all these areas. If you see every single day people stealing and doing all kind of things, we was not. Everybody who was in the industry wasn't even. I have evidence of that because I know. Because some of the people who were dying and they're strangled and stuck on these wires, we know them. We don't have no record of them and we have nothing, knows nothing about them. Because if you know about how to deal with scrap, you can go up an electric wire to take down TSPT wire. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? So it wasn't scrap dealers alone. And people need to understand, we have a lawless country here. If I start to tell you about all the industry, or all the people who are involved in doing a lot of wrong, that's why we have a crime high crime from where crime is going up, coming down. It's why we have a lawless country. And if you have a lot of people in the community without work, and we providing work for them, because when a man come out of jail, he can't go and work nowhere else, you know. We saying if you want to make a change, you could come and there work with us. All you have to do is to say you're not going to be involved in crime again, and we will work with you, and we will get you to help you to buy your car, build your house, build your family. Because as we do, I could point out one set of people who we work with, who came out of jail and worked hard, and they're just good family people now. Because it's not everybody wants to be involved in crime, right? Mm. And this is the service we do. And that is why I go all over Trinidad and Tobago and tell the youth, stay away from crime, stay away from this, stay away from this. Why do you think we either do that? It's because I love doing it. I love my country. I represent Trinidad. I just do all kind of things for my country. I'm a countryman, you know. Me, you know, businessman. When the industry was still wrong, I spent millions of dollars going all over the place, feeding people with hampers and helping them to pay the bills and not for the bailies not to come and take the van on all kind of problems. You know? So I'm a man like that. And that is why this industry, I will fight to save it. To stay in the hands of the people that need it most.
What thing you had to do, Mr. Ferguson? I mean, is you had to come up with your game plan to really show the government how, you know, again, how, if they've not seen it before, how the scrap iron industry can really benefit Trinidad and Tobago on the whole. You had to come to them and show them, this is what we could do what we have been doing, and this is what we could do. And bring it into the
agenda. I had people came in from different countries, and we had said is that we want to move into the sea, and we have a ship project. We had spent millions of dollars to put this ship project together, and we had showed the government that, listen to me, thousands of people will get employment, but we will clean up the whole sea for Trinidad free. Not a stand there as a city, because we will benefit outside by getting the scrap. And we also went to the Caribbean Islands. We did say we will also go and touch the Caribbean Islands and clean it up. And we will be the main hub in Trinidad and Tobago, because if you don't know, and you're here for the first time, people all over the Caribbean just bring the material, the scrap material to Trinidad, because we're the major hub for scrap going to these other countries. So I am saying we have a plan already, you know. We have it done in writing form, in video form. We have spent money for people to come and help us to put the proposal together. And this is not because we're talking and we're talking like this. Let me tell you something. We have things for the recycling for in Trinidad and Tobago for everything. I am talking about paper, for oil, for, let me tell you, in food, the old food that you have in your restaurant and you want to treat it with retail, we taking that and recycling it. We doing all of that. But if you cycle and you put sackle on my foot and my hand and my neck, how I could do all these things? I am saying is that if you work with us, and that's what this is what we're pushing here right now. We would like the government to work with us to make this industry something that people complaining they're not getting U.S. We will bring U.S. dollars.
U.S. all you're bringing to? How you doing now? Explain to me how you're doing now. How you're bringing that U.S. dollars?
All right. All the material that we have, when we export it, we don't sell nothing in Trinidad. We export to India, China, Taiwan, Japan, Turkey, Pakistan, India, where we get paid in U.S., right? And if you didn't know, you're going to hear for the first time.
Yeah.
Out of before 2022, before they shut down this industry, the port of Port of Spain and Point Lincoln, we send out the most containers every single month. This is nothing to look at. This is not something that you're supposed to look at. Check it. They know the statistics. I am telling you that we is exporting most container every single month. And if you look at, listen to it, they will tell you that. They know that. The Ministry of Trade know that. So why you want to strangle us and tell us that every transaction we make, we had to carry it to the Ministry of Trade. We had to take a box full of paper to carry it to just to export materials to out of Trinidad. That making sense? When we want to move into a different kind of era, and we must have box full of paper to carry it to show them that this is what we buy and this is what we do. Rubbish. Foolishness. Yeah? We have an industry, and you know what we have to do? If I sell this week here, if I export material this week here, I've been able to export until about next 7 weeks. So you're telling me if I have a grocery, I only can sell 1 week in 7 weeks and close up. And I have workers, I have 20, 30 workers, and I have to keep on paying them to stay until I could pull again. And I am asking you, if you think that is right, if you get 1 week work and 7 weeks in this station, if you think that will be viable and be able for us to run, that's what we have to do right now. That's why people want to run away from the business. You understand?
All right, man. So what are some of your other demands for the government? Tell us some of your other demands.
Well, it's not a demand. I don't want it to sound like that. What I want them to do is to work with us to put the industry back on the right foot and to able for us to work with them and to get things going where the industry will not see people stealing, but to see people exporting the material out of Trinidad, and they could able to bring in foreign exchange, because we are the whole Caribbean that we're working with, And I especially working with the Caribbean people. I have been talking to prime ministers and the people in charge to be able to make this industry where it's supposed to be. There's plenty of work going on behind the scenes, and I am working for all I want is our government to work with us and to hear us. And one of the things that I believe they will work with us, because the main theme for this election is when them win, all of we win. So I feel good about that. I love that statement. And I will pick them up on that every time. You understand?
Yes, sir. Understand. Well, I do hope you get your hearing. So who are you going to? Well, that would be Jolene John?
No. Oh, the Ministry of Trade.
Oh, the Ministry of Trade. Okay, Trade.
Yeah. And we hope to have a meeting with them shortly. Uh-huh. And when we have a meeting, we will be putting out our plans, and we will be putting out everything on the table where this industry could go and where it can go.
Mm.
All right,
man. Well, all the best, and keep us on the loop of what's going on. Right?
Yeah, man. I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to let Trinidad and Tobago understand about the scrap industry. And if everybody wants to contact me to assist with whatever skills you have, my number is 323-0261.
Right.
And you could also send a message on our Facebook page, which is Trinidad and Tobago Scrap Iron. And we on Facebook, we on TikTok, and me on Instagram.
You're on TikTok too. Nice, man. You're up to the time with you. Somebody make it. Let me read some suggestions, people. We can hear. Right, good afternoon from Maruka. Base, there is no doubt that the scrap iron dealer serves a useful purpose in the holistic environmental care. Major areas of improvement could be membership license and badges, as well as vehicles painted in a color code based on regions. Right, a better level of appearance. Many times, these workers look very, intimidating and unkempt. Simple coveralls, boots and gloves instead of the bareback, bust-up shorts and rubber slippers. A higher sense of environmental care using a refrigerator. As an example, the dealers would pick it up, take it to the scheduled area, scrap off the useful parts and leave the rest of the parts right there, dumped in the area. Centralized enclosed and specific compounds need to be set up to scrap down the items and then to be properly and safely taken and unused pieces to one of the landfills or proper disposals. What do you think about some of those suggestions?
Very good.
Right?
Especially the one with the different colors van. We would have liked to use these stickers in different colors, so it could be, because to get people to change the colors in van and things, that might create a little problem. But if we have stickers for Arima, you put a different color for Arima. If it's for South, you have a different color for South, and for Spain and Central and these areas, we could use different stickers. Two stickers will be on the van, and we could do that. I think it's a very good idea.
Nice, man.
And we have recommended that all of them wear coverall and have an ID, and the sticker which could be on the van will identify a number that they will have, a number might 20-something or 30-something. So when we check, if you call us and say, hey, number 27, do something, we could be able to pull and say, this is Tom, this and Harry, because we will have all of the data in our view,
Yeah.
So we could check it out, and see who it is and why they do that and all this other thing. So we had these things too, but as I tell you, the only show we could do all these things is the government work with us and give us this way that we can help out in our industry. They must not be able to do all this thing, and then enforcement is a very hard thing for them. We saying that we will able to give us the authority to able to check and make sure all these yards sanitized, spray. We will gain by spraying up all these yards every 2-3 months. We saying we want to do all of these things, the association. We'll do it by doing that, and we will create employment to have people to spray the yard, make sure that they have the yard in the proper way. All these things, this thing that we recommend that they do, we will have our people checking on them to make sure also that they do what they're supposed to do. Else we will stop them. We will put a sticker on their vehicle, and then when the sticker not on the vehicle, we will also have advertisement telling people, do not give people, sell people, give people material who don't have sticker on their vehicle, because it's a risk you're taking. And people will understand all these things. We understand what we need to do, and as I tell you, all we need is help. And that's why we say anybody with ideas and procedure to help us to make this industry better. Because, you know, all we could do is try.
Mm.
You understand?
Yeah. All right. Somebody's also asking me, I want to inquire, Mr. Ferguson, if the Echo Scrap Solutions is a member of your association.
The who?
Echo. ECO Scrap Solutions.
I'm familiar with the name.
I don't know if anybody had a running with that.
I don't know if they're pronouncing.
Echo. Echo. Sorry, not Echo. 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 ECO. Echo. Yeah.
Echo Scrap. Mm. Okay, I think them is members, but I need to check it out. But I don't have that. I think them is some Chinese or something. I think them might be members.
Mm. All right. What are some ways other people in other islands, like in the states, in the first world countries, what are some of the ways that those people utilize, you know, that know they are the junkyards and the kind of thing, you know, and that we could implement here in Trinidad and Tobago?
You know what, as I tell you,
Echo.
What I did, I had people from America, England,
mm-hmm.
I had people from all Russia and all, too, before Russia had all this problem.
Mm-hmm.
Came to Trinidad, Pakistan, India, we had a lot of people came here and we had a lot of interview with them. And then one of the things that I want to tell you that I didn't mention is that our association is member of recycling, one of the largest in the world.
Mm-hmm.
When we go recycling conference, we meet people from every single country in the world which is member of this recycling, and we meet them and we have intellect with them, and that is why we used to pull containers in hand and now we push pulling with as much equipment is because we will meet people who making these equipments and all the contacts we have. We have people all over the world that our association is who is member of different things. I mentioned it plenty of time already, and I'll mention it again. When we went to Singapore in the recycling conference, they asked us, based on they voted us to be the leader in this region. I'm talking about the Caribbean region. I'm talking about the whole Spanish country in this region here, and they appoint us. And when the COVID come in, the next year we worked to bring us in, and the COVID come and stop it. We're still attending the conference and thing, but we as people who understand it. When we go to speak in this conference about recycling, is that they understand that we know it, because I'm one of the persons specialize in cutting up ships and cutting up things in the water. And when I start to explain these things to Trinidad and Tobago, it's like they don't understand it. I am saying is that when you're in the country, it doesn't be recognized as nothing. And sometimes this is why they say, some people tell me to say it, but I have to say it because it's the truth. I don't know because it's how I look or because how my mother didn't make me, I have a dark skin. I don't know if people doesn't recognize them because of this industry. How it's so big and so have so much of people in communities want to be involved in these things that people just don't understand. And they watch me as I'm not a person who would have the degree in the name. My name is not Alan Dr. Ferguson. You understand?
Mm.
I am just normal Ferguson. So, you know, this is a kind of thing in Trinidad. If you don't name to have a doctor, be banned. But when you say you're fighting for the poor and you're fighting for people, I really hate my job is for people to see me as a fearless man, and people to see me for fighting for the underprivileged people in the areas that need help. That is me. I don't care if you're black, I don't care if you're white, I don't care if you're tiny lungs, you need help, I just bring out the help. Because I just say when my mother died when I was young, is an Indian woman mind me when I was small and bring me up to be a big man. So I can't see race. So when people poor, I say poor. I don't care what color you is. That's me, brother.
Yeah, man. Respect. So respect to you, Mr. Ferguson, and we'll keep us in the loop about, you know, any meetings and what happens further with you and the government, right?
Yeah, brother, man. Nice to meet you, man.
Thank you very much, sir. All right, yeah. So Alan Ferguson, President of the Scrap Iron Dealers Association.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.